I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello.
Hello.
Episode 5.
Penultimate episode of season 3.
I'm Chris Martin.
I am Carl Donnelly.
We're finishing strong.
We are, actually.
We're finishing as a group.
Yeah.
We ride together. We die together.
Yeah. And this week, we almost died together.
We almost died together doing boxing.
Oh, it's hard. So this week, yeah, the two tasks we've done. We went for group karaoke, which was so much fun. Yeah.
The only thing that died was me in your arms tonight during that one, Carl. See what I did there?
And then we went for a group boxing training session with an ex-middleweight
world champion of the world.
So
it was great fun. Trev really enjoyed it. Trev sweated
both,
a lot.
I think Trev enjoyed both this week. Yeah, it's rare. Did. Normally it's only a sort of 50% hit rate.
He enjoyed anything not on his sofa.
Yeah, both of these
when
were
in
off
karaoke,
sofa.
He spent a lot of it almost acting like he was on his sofa. It took a while to get him to stand up. But he had a good time, I think.
Great time.
Guys, check out what fun we got up to. Hi, Trev.
Hey, Trev.
G'day. How are you?
You're nearly going to copy my hi there. And then
I'll be Australian today. G'day, how you going? I don't normally talk like that. It's very exaggerated.
That's exactly how you always talk.
Is it really?
Apart from the word g'day.
Yeah. A bit broader years ago.
You sound pretty similar to that.
Now it's pretty much RP English, isn't it?
Yeah, well, 30 years ago, it was very broad. There you go, mate. Fuck, it's just fucked, isn't it? All that kind of stuff. And I've totally changed. I'm sort of very... I've rounded my mouth a bit more. Elocution type.
I have to say, this is a weird thing.
By choice, have you chosen to...
No, I think it's just I've been surrounded by people with that sort of shaped mouth. And now sort of somehow it's affected me.
You've been around a lot of round mouths.
Yeah, a lot of round mouths.
round mouths.
You come over to England just full of round mouths.
Round mouths. Yeah. That sounds like a really weird sort of battle of the round mouths in the end.
So the words come out more whole as opposed to flat vowels.
It's weird. Because I would actually say about you, when you talk, you move your lips less than anyone I've ever met in my life.
Yeah, it's true, isn't it? Yeah, I think it's... I've got false teeth just at the front. I've just got a few false teeth.
Have you?
What happened to
that? Is that after you got called a toothless scumbag?
Yeah, that's why I called it toothless scumbag.
Where did they go? What happened to them?
A teacher punched me in the face.
A school teacher?
Yeah, a school teacher.
Were you a school kid?
Yeah, when I was a school
kid. How has this not come up?
Oh, okay, right.
I love the fact you keep going, I'm running out of stories, and then you say that, and then you act like that isn't the most bizarre thing I've ever heard
of. We're 20 episodes in, and now this comes out.
I had a teacher called Mr. Leg, L-E-double-G-E, Mr. Leg, and he was an Indian, I think he's from India, whatever, but... and it was 2GH. I was in a class called 2GH, which was for slow learners, believe it or not, because I fucking hated school that much. I'm very good at English, 93%. Yeah. Very good at speed, speed and accuracy, mathematics. But I was very bad at everything else. So they said, well, Trevor is either fucking stupid or lazy.
I think we've learned.
Definitely lazy.
So they put me in the slow learners class, which is 2GH. Yeah.
Surely as a lazy bloke, that's right up to your speed. So let's slow everything down a bit. Yeah.
Well,
this is awesome.
I was in 1AB at the previous year. I was top of the class in the top three, and now I just lost the world of fucking live or something. I dropped down.
What age are you when this all happened?
How old was I? 14.
Maybe, so you peaked at 13.
Yeah, peaked at 13. I was in the top three. Because we had this grading system at school. Really? I was in the top three.
It's difficult to stay on top, though, isn't it? You got Chelsea after they win the league.
It is if you don't give a fuck, and that's what happened to me. And I lost interest in it, basically. So I become really... I had 140 days a year off at school, never did homework.
Yeah.
Then I dropped down the scale to next year, 2GH.
So you were 13 at the time, but before that, You were top of the class. So what did something happen in your life where you just thought,
I'm done,
mate?
I think it was a bad influence. There was I used to hang around with kids from a boys' home called Kamanka, which is all these little fucking reprobates, you know, criminals and arsonists and all that kind of shit. So I befriended them.
Any of their names, do you remember?
My best mate was Lou Bothwell.
Such a naughty boy's name.
Yeah, Lou Bothwell, he was my best mate. And his entire family were criminals. I probably mentioned it in a previous podcast.
Oh, was that the one where... They all got done for murder.
Oh, no, that's the next door neighbours. Yeah, Lou lived
there. He was surrounded by criminals. Yeah. You know those stereotypes that British people have about Australians?
Yeah.
You've absolutely nailed them.
Yeah, well, Lou had a brother, John, who was in and out of jail, and then he had an older brother, I can't remember his name, but he was always in jail for very serious shit.
Not even in and out, like the younger
brother.
Yeah,
no, he'd go in and... Yeah, just in.
And, the old Bothwell.
But he was like the family hero. Was, you know, when you're in jail, you're like... It was like a... what's his name? Not a steam thing, a status thing.
Yeah. Right.
So, because he was in jail all the time, he was like fucking the hero he's actually looked up to. So, anyway, me and Lou, I mean, Lou was a good bloke, but he was a bit like me, and he was probably, and I don't know what he dominated me, but I preferred his attitude to school, so I fell in with him.
You preferred the not going to school?
Yeah, and all of our mates were likewise. There was a whole gang of us who did fucking nothing. We'd wag it, we'd get the cane all the time, we'd, you know. Never do homework.
When you brings us when, back to Mr. Leg.
Yeah, let's get back to Mr.
How
Mr.
Leg. How did the Mr. Leg incident occur?
Well, Mr. Leg, I just fucked off one day. I'd just leave whenever I felt like leaving. I'd just go.
In mid-class?
Yeah, mid-class. No, when the class finished, I'd go, I am fuck this. I don't
know. Oh, well, after the first class of the day?
Yeah, yeah, I'd just leave whenever I felt like it.
Yeah.
So I left one day, and then... I thought he told me I could leave because I said, I'm not feeling. I'd always make excuses up, so I'm not feeling well. And he said, I will leave. So I fucking left. So the next day he said, Crook, where were you? Yesterday I said, well, I went home. He said, why did you do that? He said, well, you told me I could leave. And then he said, don't call me a liar. And he punched me in the face.
Whoa. That has escalated so quickly. Jesus.
And, yeah, fucking
punch you in the face.
Yeah. So I two front teeth. I think he broke one, and the other one was chipped or whatever.
What happened to Mr. Leg?
Nothing. You could do that back then. You could.
What? I know you could do that. I know there was
cane and all that, but you
can't just punch
a kid
for calling you a liar.
That sort of school. You know what I mean?
Did you tell any superiors of Mr. Leg?
I told my dad, and my dad was outraged. My dad was a black belt in judo, and his specialty was choking people. That was his thing.
Yeah,
he liked to choke fuckhead people.
It's a horrible specialist move. So what did he do? Did he go and do
that? My dad said, "I'm going to get that bastard."
Yeah.
Fucking, I'll get him. He said, I'll get him after school. I'll cut him off and jump out of the car. Fucking.
Choke him out.
Choke him out the wheel.
Oh my God.
So anyway, my mum said, I said, don't be stupid. You know what I mean? You'll get in trouble. And, you know, there's a better way to do this. So we went to the headmaster and we arranged. We had my teeth replaced. I had a denture put in.
Yeah.
And Mr. Leg paid half the dental.
Oh, half? What's an arsehole?
Yeah. So anyway, I've had these. I've got two dentures. I've got my dress denture. They're my good dentures. And I've got these ones, which are shit.
Right.
Oh, right.
Okay. Yeah. But they're not very good. But they rattle around. So.
Yeah.
So when I talk, sometimes they're a bit loose, and I don't open my mouth that much because they may well fall out.
Have you ever thought of just getting one of them ones where it's in all the time? What are they, like a bridge?
Oh, yeah, but it's like 5,000 quid a tooth or something.
Ooh,
yeah, it's really
I think you should give Mr. Leg a fucking
call. Is he still alive?
Oh, no, Mr. Leg would be fucking 6 feet under now, mate.
He's good.
Did you not, when you left school, did you not think, I'm going to
beat
get Leg?
No, I quite like Mr. Leg, actually.
You're the most laid-back man I've ever. You got punched in the face.
He's an RAF pilot during the war, so he's obviously comes from England originally.
I probably had PTSD.
Punching
you in the head.
But he saw a UFO and when he was in his Lancaster bomber.
Really?
And I said, what did you do, sir? He said, I just... dragged it off or some shit. He reckoned he outpaced it. And,
really? You obviously couldn't call him a liar because you know what happens when you do
that. That's right,
to keep your mouth shut.
No, I had a limited... I'd call him a liar 16 times and I'd run out of teeth.
And,
unbelievable.
Yeah, anyway, that was the sort of school. My science teacher, Schultz, he got the... Schultz was a little... he was a little German bloke and he was an objectionable little cunt, really.
Yeah.
And no one liked him. And then one day he was going to give Presley, he was like the prefect in the class, he was going to give him the cane. So he said, okay, Presley, can you bend over? And then Presley said, I'm not bending over for you, you pofter. Right. And all the kids cheered, yeah, yeah. And then a fight started between Schultz and Presley, and then Presley got the better of him.
Did he?
Really?
Beat him up. If you're a teacher and that happened, you just got to leave the country.
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
You can't ever teach there again.
Well, Schultz got up and he was crying, like physically.
Oh, no. Yeah, no, seeing crying. A teacher cry is
yeah,
the worst.
Yeah, a teacher crying as well. And not all the kids were cheering, you know, he hated Schultz. And that was the sort of school I went to. It was like very violent. There's always fucking fights. No. I got in a fight once, and I got in a fight with I call them deaf and dumb back then. What do you call them now? Some PC fucking term, isn't it?
What, just disabled people?
Are they disabled? No.
Well, no. You mean specifically if you're deaf and deaf is still a thing, and I don't know what the is it mute? No, it's not. They're not mute. They're just the.
Yeah, they're. Yeah,
what was the actual disability there?
Yeah, we call it deaf and dumb. But the I was just learning martial arts. So and then there was a deaf mute who was like picking fights on the oval. So and he was coming towards me and he was like, you know, threatening people. So I thought, I'm not stand. Yeah, he was very tall actually.
Yeah.
And so he went to push me, and I did an outside block on his arm. He went to push me, I went fucking bang like that. And then fucking hit him in the arm and he made some fucking noise. And then he
started... pretty good for a mute.
Yeah, that's right. What wasn't, you couldn't, it was just a noise.
Yeah.
Yeah, he still had vocal cord. He could cry and scream and all that kind of stuff.
That's one of the most morbid sentences I've ever heard in my life. Yeah. You could hear him scream.
Yeah. Jesus. But he couldn't form words. But anyway, so he starts dancing around like fucking Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
And then I'm just standing there. And he came in really swinging his arm. He tripped over his own feet.
Oh,
literally,
no.
He goes down. Everyone sort of looked around on the oval. It looked like I'd fucking decked him, but he actually tripped. He's a big clumsy fuckwit, you know what I mean? So he was deaf, dumb, and clumsy. So,
nothing going for himself
at all.
Slam.
Yeah. So anyway, then he falls over. He falls over on his fucking back, and then it looks like I decked him. Yeah. You know what I mean? But I took credit for it. Obviously,
just you claimed it. Like,
he claimed it.
Take it, mate.
And then word got around what had happened, and then a local bully in the school picked a fight on me. He thought I'd beaten up a deaf and dumb and clumsy individual.
Yeah.
And he said, I'll meet you after school, you fucking blah, blah, blah. And I'll fucking be there for you, you fucking idiot. Then word got around. He didn't know I did martial arts, apparently.
Yeah, yeah.
But word got around by the end of the day that I was actually a fucking expert. I wasn't. I was a white belt.
Yeah.
And he was much bigger than me. He probably would have killed me. So anyway, he
never showed.
That's right. Oh, so I bluffed him. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So
it's like the old hand job woman from back in the day, mate. Never showed up.
Oh yes. Oh, that.
Never showed up for a martial arts lesson.
No. Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. So that was the martial arts thing. I was just getting into it then.
I also like the fact, you know, like in prison, if you go like you're told day one, like just like deck the biggest guy and just show that you can't be messing around.
Yeah.
Trev certainly was just a deaf and mute guy who's clumsy, and then someone will try and mess with you.
Put somebody with major disabilities. Do them in front of everyone.
Like a real man.
Yeah.
This is what I'm capable of.
No one messes with me if they're not fully bodily able.
This is what I'll do to a disabled person. Guess what I'll do to somebody who's able-bodied.
So that was my journey into the martial arts.
Yeah, it's a journey into darkness.
That's right. I used to really be into my boxing training. Now I just hit the bag occasionally. But now I'm really looking forward to that. To me, that's going to be one of the highlights of the series.
So, aptly, having just spoken heavily about your martial arts career, let's talk about the boxing lesson.
Yeah, okay.
Because one thing I've noticed is that obviously three of us, just a little lowdown, went to Darren Barker's gym called 12x3 in Aldgate. And he very welcomed us in.
He took us in, gave us a like proper session. He's an ex-middleweight champion of the world.
I got
Commonwealth and European champion.
Yeah, he's the business. And he felt immediately like very beat-em-er when I got in there, because it's quite a nice, new, like done-up East London gym. And I complimented him on the tiling in the bathroom.
They were lovely
tiles.
They were sort of them old tube station tiles. Some exposed brick.
Yeah, lovely exposed brick.
There was
brick.
Some exposed like piping.
Looked like an old eel sort of house or eel house. I don't know what I'm talking about. But anyway, you and me were there, and we're like, Trevor's late, what's happened? And then Trev, you got lost.
Yeah, 45 minutes of just wandering around Whitechapel like fucking Jack the Ripper, mate. I was getting really fucking pissed off. I'll fucking go home.
It was quite a difficult place to find, to be honest.
Yeah, it was tricky.
Yeah, but I was getting on the edge, I'm fucking going home.
But you had your phone on you, weren't you, called Joel?
I've got no credit on it.
So, you've got to pay as you go.
Well, I topped it up with a different credit card, and that credit card's expired, so now I've got to put in the details of my new credit card.
So you can only receive calls.
Yeah, that's right. So I was hoping you'd call me, but you didn't give a fuck, so...
No, well, he called you.
We waited until we thought, oh, you're a bit late.
Yeah, we'll call. Well, luckily, I was in a general area.
Did you not ask someone? Does anyone know where the... Do you never do
I asked four people.
Where the 12x3 gym is?
Yeah, not the gym, I said the street.
No one knew.
Yeah, I can't follow directions. I just nod a lot. Yeah, thanks a lot. I don't know. Still, no.
Oh, so people did give you directions.
Yeah,
but you literally just didn't take them on board.
No, I don't. They just talk and I just nod my head. Oh, thanks a lot, man.
So why ask?
Yeah, why ask?
It just felt right, the right thing to do. That's what you fucking. That's what you're doing. You're lost.
You've seen it in movies, so why not?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
But I don't really take it in. If it goes past two directions, I fucking tune out. If they go right, then left, I think. But if they go right, then left, and a roundabout, and I go, oh, no, it's just fucking just tune out.
Why not?
That's so funny.
What you should do is go, can you give me two directions on the route to where I'm going? When you get to those two,
then ask another person. Oh, yes,
A relay.
Okay, that's a good idea.
It's a good little technique for you.
Yeah, no, I'll try that.
So eventually, Joel found you, and you were quite pumped up for boxing because...
Because
of getting lost for 45
minutes. I did feel like punching some fucker on the head after that. I was really looking forward to it. But not you chaps, obviously.
No.
Oh, it's symbolic. The bag is the head, isn't it, really?
So this is what's shocked me and Carl today is you're wearing... What's your nice blue top? Where's that from?
That's a Big W in Australia. If you know, Big W is an Australian version of... what is it? I don't know.
It's sort of like a big Tesco type thing.
Yeah, they sell everything, don't they? Of course, it's Tesco, basically.
Oh, right.
But in Australia.
They do food and groceries, but they also do clothes, everything.
Yeah, everything.
Proper big old affordable department store.
Yeah, that's right. So I've got this very affordable shirt.
Right, but then underneath it is a white T-shirt. I was like, Alex, really like the white T-shirt you sweated like an animal in yesterday.
Yeah,
it's
the exact same one.
It's the exact same one, not washed.
No, that's right.
That is unbelievable. Because my clothes that I wore for that boxing were disgusting. They were so sweaty and horrible.
Yeah, no, Julie would look down on me for not wearing this T-shirt. But there's a thing in martial arts. I did it when I got my black belt that you never wash some of the clothing you train in. Particularly black belt. You could never wash your black belt.
Yeah.
You never wash the belt itself.
No, but belt's different to a T-shirt.
Belt goes around the outside.
I suppose, yeah. Although sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you train semi-naked.
What?
You train with your top off sometimes, so the belt goes around.
All right.
But it's just a belt around your bare belly.
Yeah, yeah, but you're sweating into it.
You don't need to train in your belt, do you?
Oh, you train in your belt, yes.
There are people just fighting naked with a belt on.
Or semi-naked. They wear their little karate pyjamas, but no top and the black
belt on. Pyjamas.
Yeah. And and then what happens is the sweat obviously runs down your body onto the belt, but you're not allowed to wash it.
You're never allowed to wash it. You've never washed any of your martial arts belts ever?
Never, no.
Oh my god, they must stink, mate. You've had them for like 40 years.
Yeah, but it's a spirit.
You get some white spirit and dunk it in there, mate. Right. It's horrible.
Oh. Yeah. So that's what we did. We had a lot of when I did karate.
But just to check, you did that with your karate belts, but this T-shirt.
Yeah, I know.
Did you not wash it for the spirit or because you just couldn't be?
Well, I just happened to be laying there. I go, well,
yeah, it's more like spirit.
Less spirit based.
No,
not arse.
No, I should have changed it, but when I trained in Goju karate, we were very traditional. So we had all the traditional methods of training, but also traditional etiquette and so on.
Yeah,
and all that kind of stuff. So we'd go down the beach and train. We'd be on the beach, fucking throwing punches and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then we'd run along the beach with our Goju flag. We'd have a massive Goju flag.
Yeah.
And we'd have a bloke holding it, running along. We'd all be going, like a chant, a Buddha chant.
Does that chant mean something, or does it come?
It means scare away. It means donkey.
Scare away
evil spirits or some shit.
Okay,
a lot of evil spirits on Glenelg Beach, apparently.
Yeah,
and on your T-shirt, mate.
Yeah. So anyway, to carry the flag was a big honour. You know what I mean? And they said, Trevor, do you want to carry the Goju flag? It was a big fucking flag.
Yeah.
And I said, fuck you. I just got my black belt and this is a big occasion for me. So, Trevor, I didn't know how to carry the flag. You're supposed to hold it out quite a long way from yourself, but I didn't. I held it sort of here, basically.
Very close.
A wind caught. As we're running along going, hee-haw, hee-haw, hee-haw. And then a wind caught the flag, blew it right around my head like a big fucking turban, covered my entire head. And I didn't know where the fuck I was. Suddenly went black, and I just sort of ran into the sea. And and some of these fucking idiots ran in with me.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. In that's where you were all running.
There was about half a dozen actually ran in with me.
Oh, my God.
I would have loved... Imagine just sitting on a beach watching the sunset and you just see that...
Going, that's a double whammy. That's wind and claustrophobia.
What noise were you making? I can't swim.
Oh,
it's all three.
Yeah, yeah.
What noise are you making in the sea after that?
Oh, God. Fuck it. No, I didn't make any noise.
You couldn't have gone from muffled.
Yeah, muffled fucking cries of anguish.
Wow.
And that was the last time they let me carry the flag.
No, yeah, no wonder,
definitely,
mate.
Yeah. Yeah.
I failed with the flag. Flag failure.
Flag failure.
But to get back on track, did you enjoy the session?
Yes, I did enjoy the session. Obviously, because I've trained properly, like in the past. But I did. I went from karate to kickboxing.
Yeah.
So I trained really hard, man, you know, fucking 2 to 3 hours a day. And so then I went to the, but obviously I'm older, but I still think I've got the ability to still do it, but I can't really.
You've got a lovely punch on you, mate.
Yeah, I can punch all right, yeah. I just hate 16-ounce gloves. I really fucking hate 16-ounce gloves. I like big cushiony things. And it fucks your timing up on your punches.
Yeah. One thing I love about you, Trevor, you've always got an excuse for everything. Yeah. You're always like, man, they're not the right gloves for me.
Can we talk about how you definitely cheated on the final ping with the balls?
Oh, did I?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you definitely did. We got given a drill. We had to go chuck a ball up 10 times and down 10 times.
Heavy ball down and smash it against the floor.
Then it was 8 up and then 8 down and then 6 up and then 6 down. Yeah, and then, right. I mean, I was winning.
You
and then one thing, and then I hear Trev suddenly down onto his final
onto his four. Twos or something.
And I was like,
right.
And then you just sort of... just carried on like that was fine.
Well, how many did I miss out on?
I think you missed one round of six.
I think
you missed the sixes out.
Oh, was I?
Yeah, jumped from 8 to 4s.
Oh, did I? Oh, right.
Because basically, I was leading for a bit, and then Chris, I could see Chris get really competitive, and he took over.
Yeah, he's very competitive, isn't he?
And then he won, and then I was not far behind, but then somehow you finished before me.
Yeah, that's right.
I was ahead of you.
Yeah, yeah. No, I didn't mean to do it, but yeah, I probably just made a mistake.
Oh yeah, yeah, about that one, mate.
Okay. Oh, but it was good. Darren was a good trainer. Obviously, he was an excellent boxer.
Well, I googled one of his fights, and unfortunately, it was the one he fucking lost.
Felix Sturm, I think.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. I was barracking for Darren, and I just said second round knockout, right?
Yeah.
So, but I thought it was Darren knocking him out, but it was fucking this twat fucking knocked down. Didn't really knock him out.
I like the fact you've become very protective of Darren.
Yeah, he's giving us a free boxing lesson.
But the other one, the twat. But I thought Darren shouldn't have stopped. They stopped the fight, which was, I thought
unnecessary
because he was making a bit of a comeback and he was standing. He wasn't.
Oh really?
He wasn't being. He wasn't in danger of being hurt.
Bloody. Can't do anything nowadays, isn't it?
Can't kill a man in a ring. I noticed there was something else that is kind of obviously it's a really state of the art gym. It's good bathrooms.
Yeah. Nice
good
shower.
Great shower.
Yeah.
What? Anything else you enjoyed about the gym?
Oh yeah, the chick on reception.
The chick? Oh, come on.
No, the girl on reception. Very, very nice. Beautiful. That's Darren's wife.
She was Portuguese. No, it's not Darren's wife. It's just somebody works there.
Okay. Yeah, right. No, she's
it's a family business.
She was lovely. She was very nice. She was Portuguese. Oh, had a nice chat to her before you guys showed up about Portugal.
Yeah. Trevor, what I've noticed with our tasks is if we could just put sort of an attractive young woman in the vicinity, that sort of...
I drift that way. I drift towards them. I don't know. I don't mean
to. Drift towards women. That's a very creepy sentence.
Yeah.
Just drift towards a beach.
Like a hurricane fucking movie.
One of those sticks looking for water in the desert. You just like drift towards them.
I can't help it. I'm just attracted to beautiful women. I just feel like it's almost a magnetism. I just don't even want to go. And then I'm just being drawn.
Well, that's it, 'cause I was chatting to her and then you wandered in. Oh, you sort of floated in.
Yeah, I do.
And then after a couple of minutes, I just sort of thought, I'm just going to go. I'll let Trev keep talking.
Yeah, that's right. I interrupt conversations a lot. Beautiful women are involved. I just sort of come in.
It's a good thing.
Yeah, just you know, use a bit of wit, and then I'm fucking in. You're nothing happens. I don't get sex or anything, but it's just like
a, of course. Yeah, it's that's just right. A boxing gym. Yeah, no. What do you see?
Yeah. How was the group boxing? Trev shagged the receptionist. Yeah.
What a great workout that was.
Yeah, we were doing really good at helping his marriage. Yeah. Jesus. Yeah.
A mate of mine, he was like an absolute fanatic with boxing. Because his wife told me later on, they got divorced. He said he used to shag me in 3 minute rounds.
Nah.
Yeah, he did. No. He said he'd shag me for 3 minutes and take a minute
no
break.
Way.
Spit in a bucket and carry on.
Some two geezers just gave him a talking to.
Someone put a bit of metal on his cheeks in between.
Yeah. I couldn't fucking believe it.
That's not really.
I had a friend of mine, he suffered from premature ejaculation, and because he did karate, the doctor said, why don't you do one of your katas during sex? So, you know, distraction, basically. So he said he was, like if you're in doggy position, you know, you're going doggy, and then he'd start doing those katas that I do, like behind her, just to distract
him. How creepy would that be if she... A woman did caught sight of that.
Didn't it breathing?
Yeah, no, but I think she understood that.
He knew us. He said, look, I just need this breathing to
keep it. Yeah, it was his wife. I've got to do, I'm going
to make it last longer.
Yeah, make it last longer. So doing his card, isn't it?
Back in the day, you probably just wear a condom, I would say. That also helps.
Yeah. I've never worn a condom. I don't like them.
Don't like the chemicals.
You've never once worn a condom.
That's a great fact about Trevor.
Hang on, can't gloss over this.
I mean, I thought it was odd when and obviously back in the day when you said there was no sun cream, I never thought of that. But I'm pretty. Yeah. The condoms been around for a while.
Yeah, they have. Yeah,
but you've never.
This is before major disease, though. You know, back when I was young, didn't catch anything really. You know, just,
such a bad way of thinking.
There's no AIDS. There's no herpes, and you know. Not worth the effort.
Is it the fact that you sometimes you're sort of generally expected to wear a condom, not all depending on a relationship?
Well, these days I don't see any point. You know, the once you've got a condom on, it's I just think the joy goes right out of sex. It becomes a bit contrived and a bit mechanical. So why bother?
That's a real purist answer to that.
Yeah.
If there's any young people listening, please wear a condom.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, obviously, or don't have sex. It's a bit like walking 10 miles to have a cream bun. I mean, I'd really love a cream bun because it's delicious.
Yeah.
But if it's 10 miles away, you wouldn't fucking bother, would you? So if the enjoyment of sex was like the cream bun, basically.
Yeah. We've got the analogy now, mate.
Yeah.
But it's
just,
it was the way you said it was like, it was the most, like, any kids listening, please wear a condom.
Yeah,
if you don't want to wear one, just tell anyone it's like walking 10 miles.
There are loads available nowadays that are very thin. Yeah.
Sometimes you've only, with modern technology on the condoms, I'd say, it's just like walking around the corner for an eclair.
Yeah.
Yes.
Go to Greg's.
It's like going to Greg's for a steak bake.
And a yum yum, mate.
Yum yum.
Yum yums. My girlfriend's never had a yum yum. She said that to me.
You're still not doing sexual analogies.
Oh, no, this is
an analogy for an orgasm.
A yum yum.
What is it?
Yum yum's basically like a long straight donut, but not churros.
Oh.
It's like,
it's
like an English churro, fatter and shorter.
It's a fat long. It looks like a penis, but it tastes like a donut.
That's
another phrase they should put on the tag.
Well, I hate to have a donut that tasted like a penis. That'd be fucking horrendous.
It would be gross.
It might be. There's a certain demographic that'd be queuing around for that.
Anyway, overall though, afterwards
we get talking about that during a boxing.
But after the boxing,
the boxing were great.
We all felt really because it's a proper exercise. Wasn't
it?
We're all sweaty.
It's great.
And worn
I'm going to do
also.
More. Bag work is great for it's great because the thing is when you're training for fitness, if you do the same thing over and over again, your body adapts quite easily, so it becomes less get less out of it. With bag work, because you're using different combinations and different, you'd never hit the bag. Let's say the same twice, do you really? You're moving around, so it's all different. So your body's constantly having to adapt.
You've got to surprise your muscles.
Yeah, that's right. I got knocked out once. It was
teacher did this?
We had a martial arts gym at the back of a pub in a beer garden. So we had all the bags out there, and we had a floor to ceiling boy. My mate Ozzy, he was like... He was a fucking brute and good bloke, but I mean brutal. Outweighed me by 3 stones. So, and we had the headgear on, and I'd just come off the speedball. I was going ba 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 like that. And when he said, "Let's have a spar," and all right, I just started jabbing the fuck out of me. Didn't had no answer whatsoever. It was like my right hand or arm had it like a mind of its own. It's fucking getting a shit. I could see the anger building up through that little gap in the fucking headgear. So.
Yeah.
I thought something going to come along fairly soon. So something came along.
What was it?
Well, he hit me in the head, and because we had a beer garden, there was like steel post everywhere, so it went back, caught me big right, but as my head went back also, the back of my head had a steel pole. Bang, that's how I go. You know, fucking starfish.
Yeah.
And I was momentarily knocked out. And then it stopped. If you get knocked out or partially knocked out, that's the end of the spur.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Like things like
that. Yeah, then you get up.
Even back in the day when there was no sun cream or condoms. No sun cream, no condoms, but they did take concussions.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Seriously. Yeah, yeah. If only the NFL could take a page out of Trev's book. Less Johnny's, more head care management.
Well, because I used to sing in a band many years ago, so I can knock out a good blues number.
So we did two group activities this week. Gave you a little rest. We thought, let's finish the series as a community, as a team. We're stronger. We went to karaoke.
This was, I've got to say, it was so much fun.
It was, yeah.
But what
was
really interesting, I've never done karaoke in one of them booths.
Yeah, neither.
Have you never done it before?
No, I've only ever done karaoke in a bar.
Booth's great.
I agree. It does take a lot
it's
of the
most. It's the most stress-free way of doing karaoke.
Even Julia, when the group email was going around about organising it, she said she would like.
She'd rather set fire to her hair
than go to karaoke.
And
then she'd flash forward like 40 minutes into the karaoke, she was up singing.
She'd rather self-immolate. Yes. Is that the word?
Self-immolate.
And set fire to herself.
Yeah.
Which I wouldn't like. I'd have to put her out. And wouldn't like that, but anyway, the
just sort of adding that.
But I thought Julie would never sing in a million years,
and
but she started to sing.
Absolutely, that's it.
A French song.
She
gets embarrassed by me singing because I said to her, I think I can sing some song quite well, but then she said, I get so embarrassed. Why do you think I'm a shit singer? That's not that. Just anyone singing, I get embarrassed.
Did it take you convincing her to come? Did you have to sort of bend her arm a little bit to get her?
Oh, not really. No. She thought it was a group get together.
I sort of convinced her with her. I said, it's not. There's no pressure to sing. It's actually just a bit of a laugh, a few drinks.
It's just getting drunk in a very small room
where somebody's singing right next to you.
With someone singing.
Actually, once it got up and running, she was well into it.
No, it was all right. And I thought, what you need though, you need a list of the songs before you go, so you can pick out the one. You spend so much time fucking about one song.
I meant to say, there's a touch screen selection thing. Were you too scared to touch the screen due to germs?
It's not that, no. I just wouldn't know where to start. It's like a fucking computer, and I'd go. Yeah. But yeah, I'd get three songs: Streets of London, Honky Tonk Woman. And I did another one.
Streets of London. I remember you singing
Streets
that.
Streets of London.
That was such a sad
song.
It was
a very sad song.
Streets of London.
It's just a really sad old folk song.
Yeah, that's right. It's a lovely song.
It's a lovely song.
It's a weird one for brings the mood down
when
a bit.
Everyone's a bit pissed. I think we'd sung Journey, Don't Stop Believing before it. And then it was let me take you by the hand.
Yeah, someone put Right Said Fred on. Let's get back up again.
Yeah, so I'd Honky Tonk Woman and Red Rooster.
Yeah, Red Rooster. Oh, yeah, Red Rooster. That was the other one.
What was quite funny, though, because we'd put on a few randoms. And we get like duets going, and you did a couple, and then you're a man of many excuses. Something the more I know you, and you keep going, nah, you go, all these songs are too high.
Yeah.
You just said all of them are too high.
Yeah, I thought they were. They are. They're definitely.
They're not all too. You know,
has to be in the key of G.
Is it?
Yeah. Also,
that's a funny stipulation. I'm only singing G.
Now the key of G is the ideal key for most songs, like for the average person.
Yeah, really,
like a singing. Yeah, if you can really sing, it's not an issue. But if you're just an ordinary sort of bloke having a bit of a sing, always go for the key of G.
All right. I've told Carl, I haven't told you before. I once went with Hannah, and we were. It was in the middle of something. We like had a daytime drinking session. We went in the middle of the day to a place, two of us, and then it was two of. And then we chose the songs, and she went to the toilet, and the song came on by like So Solid Crew, who are like a British rap group, and. She'd left the room, but the song was on. So for some reason, I just thought, I'll just sing it, just sing it on my own. And there's a bit in the song where there's a heavy use of the N-word. But I was just, singing it. And then as I was singing it, I looked through the window and there was a guy from another booth just sticking his head in. And so to him, it must have looked like I was just on my own.
Oh, yeah, okay.
In a room singing the N-word.
Oh, yeah.
Like I just like snuck in off the street legally just be racist and then go back on with my life.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the danger of going with two people. But
would you go on your own?
I would actually. I would go on my own.
Like one of the blokes who does a whole round of golf on his own.
There's nothing wrong with having a round of golf on your own.
It's still a bit odd. But a karaoke booth on your own is odd.
Karaoke booth is way weirder than going golf.
Yeah, yeah. I told you I was in the band and the singer, and I just had my mic. Everyone else had to set up drums and amplifiers and tune the guitars up, and I just fucking rock up and plug my fucking microphone and ready.
Carry your own mic?
Yeah, I always had my own mic with me. Yeah,
like a pool player.
Had mic while travel.
Do you have a little case?
It's a bag actually. Yes, small bag of something.
Was it a Tesco bag?
No.
His normal bag of choice. Yeah.
Well, they got pissed off with me because they thought even though I'm the singer, I should help them carry the amps, after the show.
But
I never did. I tend to do like disappear like vapor after the fucking gig. So
you just got sorry guys, I've just been magnetised by another woman. You just get that across.
So yeah, they were great old days. Anyway,
did you ever use, because obviously lead singers of band are normally kind of famously.
Promiscuous.
Did it attract the attention of any women?
Yeah, I was promiscuous, but the women weren't that I came into contact with.
Did you not get any attention from any females?
I had girlfriends, but then I was a girlfriend.
Oh, right.
So I remained loyal.
But that's good.
Yeah, I believe in being faithful. Oh. Yeah.
Did you and Julia travel home together, or did you go?
No, she went on the tube, I went on the bus.
Yeah.
She thinks the bus is so fucking slow, but I don't like the tube. So.
She said she had to get up early, so she wanted to get home quick.
Yes. So anyway, she only beat me by 10 minutes, so she should have really come with me on the bus.
But she was also worried because you keep saying your bladder's a problem that you're going
to
get off the bus.
Yeah, but it was a Sunday night, so it's pretty.
So you didn't have to get off for a
piss? No, I didn't have to. Sometimes I just have to jump off the bus and piss and get the next bus. Fucking terrible, isn't it?
Imagine watching that happen. Yeah. You're at the bus stop waiting for another bus. Guy just gets off, pisses, and comes to sit next to
you. Yeah, I know. It's fucking terrible, isn't it? Should have a latrine on the bus or something, just at the back. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it was a fun. This was a fun.
It was fun.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a
good
week of activity.
You see
wasn't
your
it?
Spirits. You seem very high spirited.
Yeah, yeah. I must admit, my derealization, which is part of the anxiety, is sort of it's at the moment it's zero.
Yeah.
Julia's feedback on this one. Let's talk about the. We'll do boxing first because we did boxing first.
Starts with a great quote.
Well, you go for this one, Carl.
To borrow from David Mamet, this guy couldn't find his dick with two hands and a map. I printed off a map and verbal instructions for finding the gym, and he still got lost. I think he has a faulty CPU that doesn't hear instructions, which you
just
agree with.
To.
You told
us. Yeah.
And as she said, thoroughly enjoyed the training, was impressed with his own ability to skip for 2 minutes, not having done it for years. And the comment I remember most was how much he liked the buildings around the East End, and was asking me about the history and its medieval roots. I'm supposed to know, in brackets she's put, I'm supposed to know everything from train timetables to the divine right of kings. Was very pleased that he was observing stuff and liking it. He always writes off places without knowing anything about them, but I might be able to get him on a history walk in that direction, I reckon. Anyway, he came back full of beans from the boxing, very chipper. I think he felt he'd redeemed himself after not doing so well at the running last week.
Yes.
Good feedback. All positive.
It was good. Very positive.
Have you? Because you said you've never been to that part of London before.
No, I've never walked around.
We've never been. Because afterwards we walked up Brick Lane. You said you've never been to Brick Lane.
No, I've never been to Brick Lane. I've never actually. I think I may have gone through it on a bus, but I've never actually put my foot on the street.
Yeah.
Or the footpath in that place.
And you quite liked it?
Yeah. I thought it was historically had a certain vibe about it. I seem to sense the spirit of, fucking Jack the Ripper or something.
The East End, it's a very, it's a different vibe in East End than any other part of London.
Yeah, it is totally different, I suppose I like the difference. I wouldn't live there in a million fucking years.
Do you know what I liked as well? We're walking down Brick Lane, me and Carl popped in for some vegan snacks, like a couple of wankers are, and this guy, it was like an Italian-Korean place.
Weird.
And the guy's had this little sample of a charcoal bread he'd made. He goes, yeah, you want some charcoal bread? Here for you. And he goes, yeah, for this guy, to Trev. And I was like, I almost felt like like a parole officer. He doesn't want any because I just knew he wouldn't want it because he had his fingers all over the bread.
And
you were like, no, I'm all right. And he goes, no, come on. And I was like, trust me, you don't want to give him. This guy's thinking, what happens to that bloke when he eats bread? Turned into a raging lunatic.
See, I forget that sometimes. Obviously, with OCD,
you can't really have
food with somebody else's touch, but in a lot of cultures
around
the world, sharing food is big part of the culture.
I'd starve to death in those fucking places.
I guess you probably don't have OCD if you're like from like a Middle Eastern country. It's all very finger and
perished.
Yeah.
Terrible way to die. So I just couldn't find any food that no one's grubby hands hadn't been on.
So
right, and then karaoke. Well, that was fun. I think he enjoyed it a lot, apart from the fact that he and I are both so dated in our musical references that didn't have a clue about the playlists. He really enjoyed singing, I think. It was very sweet to watch him concentrating and not taking the piss.
You weren't
judgy. It's true. No. You were very earnestly into it. Yeah. She went, I found it fascinating that everyone gets into their own song very much, but will happily yak through anyone else until it's their own.
That's actually a good
That does happen.
It's just everyone's just drunk in a room.
You have to get into the spirit of it. I thought I got into the spirit of it.
You were the spirit of it, mate.
Normally I'd be very cynical. I'd just sit in the corner and look at those fucking idiots. That's the way I normally am. But I got into the spirit of it.
Exactly, mate. It's all changed.
It's a good thing, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah, she said, do you need the alcohol to sort of liven things up a bit? And Lucky Voice, where we went, is obviously the best use of a converted brothel I've ever seen. Very pleasant place.
It did have that vibe.
It did, didn't it? I expected
knocking
something.
Shop.
Knocking shop.
No, it did. It was a bit like that, wasn't it?
The Trev got really... Trev's eyes lit up.
That's why you got into
here comes a hand job.
Can we call the waiter? Do you have two white Russians and a hand job, please? But no, it was good. I think it's good to have the wife with you on one. I thought that was nice.
Yeah. I mean, we're very affectionate to one another. Did you see me?
I loved it when you had a little... You came over to it at one point, gave a little kiss on the lips.
Yeah.
So next week is our final episode of the series. Going to be sad?
In a way it is. It's sort of... because my training's out of whack at the moment. I haven't done weights for a week and I'm going, fuck, I don't seem to have time to do it. So that aspect of it, I'm going, fuck, man, I need my life back. By the same token, when we stop, then I'll be going, oh, fuck, what's to do today?
I've got
nothing to write or no one to see.
In between the seasons, though, there's a big gap in our schedule where you're going to get to go and do some stuff with Carl.
Yeah, we'll still do stuff, yeah.
I'll be knocking around.
Right. Yeah. Trev, we'll see you next week for the final episode.
Okay, mate, no problem. See you later.
That was a belter, wasn't it?
That was really...
I think it might be my favourite episode of this series.
That was tickling me a lot.
Lots of laughs.
What did you enjoy?
Walking into the sea with a flag wrapped around his head.
That's an amazing image.
And everyone following it as well. It was a very funny...
I just like the phrase, walk 10 miles to have a cream bun, which has got to be a tagline on unsafe sex.
Good episode, good week of activities.
Great. Next week's the final one of the series. It's exciting. We're gonna double group activity again.
Yes.
One is clothes makeover for Trev.
Yeah, we're going to go shopping. Gentleman's clothes shopping.
And then the other one is...
Get some photos. We're going to get like a group portrait.
He's keeps been paranoid about how he looks in photos, so we got our good photographer friend.
Yeah.
Going to sort him out with a nice...
Nazi snaps, headshots.
If you've enjoyed, guys, one more to go. Just same thing as always. Lots of reviews,
ratings.
Get
iTunes.
A friend to download. Someone who they think would want to know
tweet
about Trevor.
About it. Facebook about
at babysitting Trev. /babysittingTrev.
Yeah.
At babysitting Trevor.
Yeah.
All of that stuff.
Get in touch.
You know how it works.
Yeah. Hope you enjoyed it.
Bye.
See you soon. Bye.
Babysitting Trevor is a .. production hosted by Carl Donnelly, Chris Martin and Trevor Crook and is produced by Joel Porter.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.